Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm glad to see that you're happy to see me. How are you?
Good.
Well, I am very glad to see you. I really am very, very happy to see you. Best reason I'm happy to see you is I probably have the best news for you that I have ever given at a Congress. Applause. You know, we've been talking for a long time about CLEARS. We've been talking for a long time about worldwide dissemination. And there are some people amongst us who have never heard before of Scientology before their friends brought them here today saying they ought to go to a Congress and see what it's all about. Because the lectures are very introductory. They're very simple. They're much simpler than a P.E. We will bow our heads for a moment of silence for those people. Because they're about to get it between the ears. Because at this Congress, I'm not going to pull any punches for you at all. A tremendous amount of data has been gathered since I was last here. And a tremendous amount of accomplishment has been accomplished. And I will be here again in June. And I hope to be OT in June. So at this particular Congress, if you will put up with my ragtag bobtail appearance, and the fact that at the moment I am not scintillating as a thetan over your heads in the middle of the hall, why, I will appreciate your forbearance. The tremendous amount of material, an enormous amount of accomplishment, has occurred since February of 1961. And as a result, one has to put it all together because a new complexion has come to Scientology entirely than we have had in the past. There are new factors involved in Scientology which you wouldn't have recognized 2 or 3 years ago. We are at a period where the skills of an auditor are finite. They are extremely finite. If you know how to do these things, these exact things, then probably you can handle any technology that comes along after them. If you can't handle these things, why, stick with the CCHs or run rising scale on somebody. But a new level has been reached. We have gone up the ladder and we have hit a new plateau. That does not wipe out the old plateaus. They still exist. Anything that could have been done yesterday can still be done today. But it does mean, very, very definitely, and very emphatically, it does mean that a brand new aspect has arrived. This is a new plateau. This is, for God's sakes, build a better bridge. Well, you put up new girders and new spans across new streams, and people look at you in some horror. They say, what? Where are we gone now? That's all right. Wait till they look at their cases and find out where they've got to go. When you tackle anything as undone as the human mind, the status of life in this universe, unassisted by any textbooks that are not booby-trapped, you've got a handful. And piloting the way on such a thing is full of many surprises. It's full of many simplicities and many complexities. But let us not make the mistake of believing we are doing something other than what we are doing. The first error we could make is assuming that we are doing less than we were doing, or we're doing something else than what we are doing. And that would be a serious error, because we are doing exactly what we are doing. And you get people all around the fringes, and they say, well, what they're really doing, you see, and so on, and so on. And really, it's like psychotherapy, only a little better, you know. It teaches you a new way to think. It betters your IQ. It's like psychiatry, only different. This is man's fantastic effort to get a datum of comparable magnitude to Scientology. How do you get a comparable magnitude to Scientology? Well, how much trouble are you in this universe in? That's the comparable magnitude to Scientology. And let me assure you that child psychology that teaches them to put block A on block B and then knock them down so they can abreact their hostilities is not a comparable magnitude to what we are doing in Scientology. This is the road out. This is the effort of individuals who have been drifting along by actual fact. And now the person next to you who's never heard of Scientology before should be advised at this point, well, past lives, you'll come onto that later. It's just an idea he has, you see. But apparently this has been going on for a couple of hundred trillion years with no change except a bit of worsening, a little cave in here and a little cave in there and a little skid here and a little skid there, and it's been going on and on. Because what you will learn more about, the 3D package demonstrates conclusively that its elements have been around for at least 200 trillion years. So that means it's been an awful long time since you've been sane, brother. I have to explain to that person next to you, well, that's the way he talks or he's a congressman. But we're not running this toy tractor over a ridge in the rug. See? This isn't what we're doing. This isn't what we're doing. We're flying into the teeth of the fates and auditing them too. It isn't a matter of being able to change your complexion so you won't have to wear Max Factor. Not a datum of comparable magnitude. There you sit. How long have you been around doing things you didn't want to do and not understanding what you were doing? Look at it. Any idea of magnitude? Oh, well, you say childhood. Great, great. Been around since childhood, have you? Childhood when? Now, I realize you're very happy with the game you were playing. Cheerful game. Whatever the game is. Keeps you occupied so you won't think of other things. Games such as all garbage cans must be emptied. You know, high-level game. Something with nobility and future. You get so you think there's no other game, you know. Got to keep those garbage cans emptied, man. If we empty them good enough and long enough, why then we'll get to empty more garbage cans. And maybe someday we'll work up to only emptying garbage cans. And we won't have to do anything else. Won't have to think of anything else. And there we are, emptying garbage cans. If it weren't for Scientology, 200 trillion years in the future, there you would be emptying those garbage cans. Well, maybe you like to empty garbage cans, so Scientology isn't for you. It's true, there have got to be hewers of wood and drawers of water and emptiers of garbage cans. So that's a stable datum for this universe. But you've been running on this track for a long time, a very, very long time. And you may be telling the other fellow that you feel all right about it, but just sort of look back at you. And I don't think you feel all right about it. I think you get the idea occasionally there's something you don't know. There's something that is not quite explained about all this. You're sitting at the breakfast table, you look at your mother-in-law, you grip your knife. You think at happier times and places, this could have been a poniard. And no law would have intervened. You know, times have been better. Most men lead lives of quiet desperation. And all of that is totally based upon ignorance of things as they are. These are the assumptions one can make. It isn't a new thought that man might get out of the cycle of action. It isn't a new thought at all. 2,500 years ago, Gautama Siddhartha, variously known as Buddha, had a big ambition. He thought man could break out of the cycle of birth and death. And 2,500 years ago, apparently, a few made it. But as time has gone on, even Buddhism has become booby-trapped to such a degree that you're supposed to sit and contemplate your navel. And actual technical experimentation has demonstrated that regardless of the size or attractiveness of the navel, regardless of how well cut was the umbilical cord, one can probably sit and regard it for the next 200 trillion years without a blessed thing happening, except that he will get more so than he was. I don't mean to paint a dismal picture. This is a universe. This has beings in it. And they are doing this and they are doing that. And this would all be all right, providing those beings were happy doing what they were doing and wanted to do nothing else but what they were doing and nothing interfered with what they were doing, and they could go ahead and do what they were doing and so forth, and nothing ever interrupted this or threw it on its head. Perhaps that would be all right. But if we look at this straight in the face, we find before us a rather cruel universe. We find it rigged in most directions. And I think it's a worthy opponent. We look at the laws of nature, so-called the law of tooth and claw, the spider eating the fly, the water buck and the tiger. We look at the various games of life. And I don't know, maybe you'd like to lie down and be eaten alive by a tiger, but I find it myself an unpleasant experience. This universe is an interesting universe. And it remains interesting to the degree that it remains unknown. As long as people can sit around and make up stories of how it got here, well, I'll give you one of the fairy tales, one of the current fairy tales. There was a sea of ammonia. Sea of ammonia. And it was out there, and there it was. And all of a sudden, there was a spontaneous combustion somewhere in it. And sufficient chemical elements combined in this sea of ammonia so that this beautiful girl walked out of the waves. I beg your pardon, I'm mixing it up with Greek mythology as well as current mythology. But isn't it an interesting fairy tale? Look at the despair of such a theory, the utter despair of such a theory, that there was this sea of ammonia. From where it came, nobody bothers to explain, you see. And it was sitting there, and suddenly all these elements combined, 8,642 elements combined at CO2H3SOP4, beep, beep, you know, some chemical formula. And it all combined just at that instant, and then life was caused. See, life. See, that's where you started. This is science, you see. And you haven't been able to understand household ammonia since. Anyhow, along with this interesting, widely held theory is a tremendous contest that you have never lived before. Isn't that interesting? Well, let's look at this. The best held scientific theory is that there was this sea of ammonia and all the elements combined, and there was life. And cell by cell, it accumulated, and eventually you have this cellular conglomeration of God help us, and there you are, see? All right, that's fine. Now, sitting right alongside of that, taught in the same lecture room, in the same university, at the same moment, is the fact that you have only lived once. Where's that put the sea of ammonia? Well, let's look this over. There must be a sea of ammonia each time you get born. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? If you've only lived once and you've never lived before this life, then the sea of ammonia, of course, obviously occurs at the exact instant of your gestation or combustion or something. Well, this would have to be a repeating cycle. Or what? It would have to have occurred a long time ago. So if it occurred a long time ago, the agglomeration of God help us, that is you, scientifically, must have been coming along for a long time. Yeah, but you don't have anything to do with the long, continuous line of protoplasm going through space. This protoplasm runs independently of you. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back over this thing again. Where'd you come from? If there's this unending stream of protoplasm which comes up from the spontaneous combustion in the sea of ammonia and arrives in present time, and this is you cellularly, and if you have never lived before, and you just occurred in this lifetime, and your consciousness is that, well, they explain that very carefully. They say, well, actually, you and your personality and that sort of thing is a motion picture camera taking a picture of a motion picture camera taking a picture of a motion picture camera. That's right. That's what you are. Now, I tried this experiment. I set up a motion picture camera, and I took a picture, and then I took a picture of the motion picture camera taking a picture, and then I took a picture of the motion picture camera taking a picture of a motion picture camera taking a picture. And it wasn't alive. There wasn't a single thing there more alive than there was before. It didn't. I ran out of motion picture cameras. Of course, you can say, of course, that if I'd put up enough motion picture cameras, of course, the whole thing would have come to life and functioned like a human brain. But isn't that true? Isn't that true? The visual image out in front of you is supposed to come in through your optic nervous and registers on some sort of a coordinated screen. And that gives you the stimulus response mechanism that creates consciousness of the scene before you. I don't think there's anything wrong with the theory. The very best authorities adhere to this theory today. So it must be true, mustn't it? They draw a lot of pay. They got tremendous numbers of letters after their name. So obviously it must be true, except it doesn't make sense. But it must be true. It doesn't make sense. And that is modern science and life. And it's gone no further than that. I actually believe, I favor some of the theories I have heard in Stone Age societies. Ugg is sitting there going, ooga, ooga, boonga, 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 boonga. And you say, well, now, Ugg, where'd you come from, Ugg? Oh, me child of lightning. Boo, boo, ooga, 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 lightning strike. Mama say, yeep, they're me. Much better theory. Much better theory. You say, where'd the lightning come from? He never bothered with that. Oh, lightning. Then he goes off and he says, oh, that was God. That was one of the gods. That was a god who did it. You say, that's good. Thank you. Let's not bother any further, you know. But when they have deserted deity as a marvelous explanation, you see, deity is a very good explanation. They say, well, God did it. I haven't got anything to do with it. You don't have to understand anything about it. He did it. You want to know about the wall? He did it. They never bothered to say, I have no responsibility, no responsibility, no responsibility, because that's the case level of such a theory. Oh, I didn't mean to insult you there. I know there are people in the crowd who still go to church. And I think you should go to church. Only stop sleeping and wake up and hear what they're telling you. People say, I must be an atheist. Oh, no, I'm not an atheist. I believe in God. I believe in God 100%. Absolutely, across the boards. I'm no agnostic like these other denominations. I really believe in it. I believe you've been around for a long time raising hell. Only I'm not kidding myself about what this deity thing would be all about, as far as I can tell. Well, you'd either have to go on the basis, you see, that there are more thetans. Some thetans are more thetan than other thetans. So you could get that theory, and then you'd have a big thetan, and then you could blame everything on the big thetan, you see? That's called the big thetan theory. Now there's another theory you could lay along there. There's the you and me and him got careless one day, and we were throwing stuff around, and it collided. And it was him that made a mess out of it. But we will admit the responsibility that we were at least there to be messed up. And anyhow, Joe and Bill and Agnes and Bessie and Pete, and we sort of came into collision on this subject, and we started making this stuff that we're now sitting in, and we forgot to stop making it, and here we are. Now, that is the us theory. And I think you will find that one bears out. Who did it? Not you did it, or him did it, we did it. I think you'll find that bears out. You didn't arrive as a spontaneous combustion. You was simply you, and you've been you, and in view of the fact that you doesn't have any time factor in it, you can also manufacture the illusion of time, so there you are. Now, this, again, would be a very poor theory if it is unsupported by evidence. The theory must be supported by some sort of evidence and observation. Well, when you find out how busy a PC is manufacturing a bank, it doesn't take very much imagination to extend it just a little further of his manufacturing a few other things. I mean, that is an understandable factor. And if you want to subscribe to the big thetan theory, fine, by all means, go to church. But recognize what you're doing. You're not taking responsibility for what you probably had a hand in. Now, personally, this big thetan theory is all right, except it designates an overwhump. It designates that somebody has been overwhumped. that Scientology's for overwhelmed. But it says that one Thetan overwhumped the other Thetan. And as a result of this overwhump, the Thetan who got overwhumped is now in a state of worship of the Thetan that overwhumped him. And I don't know, you may at some time or another have gotten into the condition whereby when the traffic cop gave you a ticket, you drove away worshiping traffic cops. This may be true. May be true. You possibly did. Maybe you worshiped the government the last time it made you pay four times as much tax as you were supposed to pay. But here is the rest of the story. Maybe you drove away worshiping that traffic cop saying, yes, officer, isn't law and order, aren't they masterful, look how strong they are. Maybe you went away with all this theory and so forth, and when you drove away, that was the way you felt. But you run into an auditor, and without informing you of anything, he simply runs out the incident, and you go into a vituperation about halfway through about these condemned cotton-picking traffic cops. That's where the big Thetan theory breaks down. You can't take anybody who has been overwhumped, run out any of the circumstances of the overwhump, without his being mad as hops, and then coming back to a parity with what overwhumped him. And as long as he is overwhelmed, he is suffering from ulcers. And as long as he himself has overwhelmed, he is suffering from ulcers. And he's in good shape, you know, in good shape. If he's very careful, he's in terribly good condition all the way along the line, except for being so sick all the time. And you want to cure his sickness or make him feel better or make him effective in any way or make him stand up and take some responsibility for what he's doing, and you have to run out the overwhumps. You have to find those periods when he was stamped down to a point where he believed he was nothing. And having found this to be the case, you will discover that he recovers and all of his aches and pains disappear, and he's in pretty good shape. And he's now effective. Now, how does this compare as the best possible recommendation of the Big Thetan Theory? Does that recommend the Big Thetan Theory? Or does it say the Big Thetan Theory... Oh, no, I won't say that the Big Thetan Theory is totally responsible for all the ills of the world. There are other theories. But you get the idea there that there's this fellow and he's all overwhelmed and he can't move and he can't see and he can't do anything very much. And there he is, and we keep falling over him, go down the road and we fall over him, come back up the road and we fall over him. And there he is and so forth. And we finally say, well, let's take this fellow and sit him on the curb and find out what's going on. And we say, all right. Here, Bill Thetan, what's the matter with you? Oh, I just don't know. I'm just fine. But it actually, the big Thetan has smoted me. And you say, all right, when did you get the idea that you'd been smoted by this big Thetan? Well, he could trace it back, and you could run it out, and you could fix it up. And at the end of that time, he says, well, what do you know? He said, I'm as big as the big Thetan. Or I don't feel so overwhelmed. Or actually, I overwhelmed him. And when he gets this type of realization on the thing, what does he do? He recovers. The next time you walk up the road, you don't fall over him. Next time you walk down the road, why, he's doing something interesting on the corner. And he says, hiya, Joe. And you say, hiya, Bill. And there's some life around. These things don't compare to the theories and philosophies which we have been taught in the past. They don't exist in that area. And when we look for a comparable magnitude, a datum of comparable magnitude to Scientology, we don't find one. We find a lot of dead-ended attempts to straighten it out or understand it. And having found these dead-ended attempts, we find out they've been booby-trapped to push people in further, which makes a very interesting picture. Therefore, you are very fine for you to regard Scientology with some suspicion. The usual course of somebody hearing about Scientology, they'd say, well, he hears about it, and he says, boy, he says, that's the thing, you know. Boy, that's just what I've been looking for. We bang, you know, and so on. And he hears some more about it, and he gets a pee, of course, he gets some more, and somebody runs a touch assist on him, and all of a sudden he doesn't do this all the time, you know. And everything's just going along fine. And then one day he's sitting there, and he hears this true datum, you see, that one of the auditors drinks coffee with lemon in it. It's pretty reprehensible, you know. So he wonders if it's all that it's cracked up to be. And he goes through this period of doubt. Well, I don't know. I guess it's too good to be true. It's a beautiful dream anyway. It's awful nice. And he goes loafing off and empties a couple of more garbage cans, you know. And feeling kind of sad about it. It was a nice idea, but of course it's all a fake. You see, the whole thing's fake and so forth. And then one day, why, somebody's falls over a lamppost or something of the sort, and he remembers something he learned on a co-audit, and he says, well, stand here and touch the lamppost for a few minutes, you see? And the fellow stands there and touches the lamppost for a few minutes, and wham, he's all right now, and he walks off down, gee, he said, thank you. The fellow said, maybe there is something to Scientology. Suppose there is something to Scientology and so forth. And he meets a friend of his, and this friend of his is something of the sort, and he says to this friend of his, you know what you need is some Scientology. Well, that's what you need. And so forth. It's a good thing. It's a good idea. And he goes away and he says, I wonder if that's right. I guess it's right. Scientology's okay, I guess. It's really wrong. That's it. Guy runs things, you know. He just runs things, you know. He says white, and everybody has to say white. I don't know. It's pretty bad, you know. And so forth. But I don't know. It's too bad. A lot of the stuff inside. There's some of the things in Scientology work, I guess. And then one day he happens to find some money he didn't quite know what to do with, and he goes down and he says, well, I might as well take an HPA course, something like that. And he goes in, takes an HPA course. First 3 weeks, absolutely wonderful, and then he finds out the instructor comes late to class every now and then, and he gets corrected several times, and then he kind of misses out, and he gets some infraction sheets, and he knows he didn't do anything wrong. And then he goes through a period in class of not knowing whether or not Scientology is, or whether it works, or whether it doesn't work. And he comes out of that, and then he knows Scientology really works. And he doesn't know if it really works or not. And then he knows... You think I'm joking. Just look at your own history. I mean, you've gone on and off the bandwagon and on and off the bandwagon. Well, what's so peculiar? Everybody does. It's too good to be true that there's a breakout of this magnitude and progress. Look at the number of times you hoped there was in the past, and there wasn't. You keep stumbling into those things, you see, and they keep getting re-stimulated and can't be true. And then you're getting whiff holes off a pre-clear sometime, and he says, you know, frankly, I have a big withhold. I have a big withhold. I heard somebody else say that actually Ron was seen smoking a pipe. The auditor sits there in a state of shock. He said, what? No, not really, you know, said it himself. But he has to withhold it now because he's auditing in session. He goes around. This happens all the time, you know. It's wild, man. What is fantastic is they always come back. That's what's fantastic, you see. You never lose them completely. We'll even pick up them as has went out the hard way in the next life or two. Some people have doubted so hard and fought so hard and raised so much hell and so forth, they finally kick themselves off. And no auditor was around to pull them back in and audit them, and they're off someplace attending school in Nueva Vizcaya, Upper Biambong or something at the present moment, and we'll even catch up with those. But stop looking at things as they ought to be, and start looking at things as they are. including Scientology, and you will be much happier. Absolutely marvelous. Of course, a bunch of aberrated guys, including you and me, start putting a lot of things together and start getting results and start making it out along the line and really start doing something and getting somewhere and actually proceeding and not falling on our heads totally, being 51% right while we're being 49% nuts. We, of course, going to make a few mistakes. But look at what's really happening. We are making it. Wobbly, yeah, driving all over the road, sure, but we're making it. The point is don't go completely into the ditch. That's all I ask of you. I don't expect you to be driving down the highway with a great big flag on your radiator cap, Scientology, the S and double triangle, and shoot everybody dead who dares whisper against Scientology or spread any entheogen or something of the sort, and never yourself doubt anything and always be in there a sterling, good, solid, representative Scientologist at all times. I've gotten sick of you, too, occasionally. You almost say there must be something the matter with a fellow who's never fallen on his head on the subject sooner or later. He must be fixated. Well, it's remarkable, you know. You see him around, and then you see him disappear, and then you see him come back again, used to a familiar face, and all of a sudden it's missing, and you hear they had this terrible time, and they had this bad auditing, and then they did this, and this was done to them, and that was done to them, and it was all pretty hard, and so on, and then somebody reports having seen them. They're going down the road under full motivator. And maybe a year, two, 3 years might go by, and all of a sudden you look up and there they are at the Congress. And they feel all contrite, you know. And I'm sorry, Ron, you know. Sorry, Ron. Okay. It always upsets the living daylights with him, because the truth of the matter is I'm always glad to see him again, and so is everybody else. When you can take away and handle the crimes, overts, and withholds of man, let me assure you, you don't worry much about retaining their guilt in order to keep them in line. We know the fellow must have had something on the ball, or he'd never been around in the first place, and he never would have come back. That's what you expect of a Scientologist. But of course, if everybody did that all the time, we would be in a mess, and we have people who I've stood by and who are straight along the line. But they themselves have had their moment of grief, every one of them, and me too. So it isn't a terrifically easy road. I've tried to put all the possibly soft paving blocks I could possibly find on the highway and put a few rest camps along the line as well as I could. But remember, I'm just me. I'm not in the paving business. Possibly the toughest thing which I myself have to bear along this particular line is your ought to be. What I ought to be. Recently, some of the organization members and international council members down in South Africa went out on a tour of the various cities. And they had to answer everybody's questions such as, well, does Ron have horns, not have horns? Does he grow wings? Does he lecture from the middle of the hall, you see, supported in Translucent Splendor or something of the sort, or does he do this or does he do that? And they have to answer all these questions. Nobody ever believes them. They say, well, Ron is just a guy and he's just trying to do a job and so forth, and best thing you can say for him is he keeps on and he does deliver the bacon as he goes. It's about the best you could say for him, and there it is, and everything's fine. But he's just a guy, and people don't want that. Man, you really run it on me. You really run it. One of the toughest things about a Congress is one always has to come up bright and shining on a certain date. This is from my point of view, you think. I came limping on the stage. I'm sorry, can't give you much of a lecture and so forth. Be several people say, Scientology doesn't work. Look, he's sick. Well, look at this. Meat body. Meat body, nothing else. Been dead 3 times in this lifetime. Been through a war. Lived in the United States. What I'm proudest of, you never notice. I'm still alive and functioning. Now, for instance, I should never show up at a Congress with a finger bound up. They ought to be. That's pretty grim. Well, I don't know whether Scientology works or not, because, you know, actually at the Congress in Washington there, Ron had a bandage on his finger. It was the Clean Hands Congress, too. Now, I'm all supposed to be bright and shining, always on top, always rolling on all 8 wheels. It's fantastic. I usually manage to. But you got no right to demand it of me, that's all. Let me fall on my head someday. I haven't had a vacation, actually, in years. And how I keep going, Lord knows, I don't. Work about 28 hours a day. I should be at St. Hill right this moment. I shouldn't be standing here. Nothing's going to pieces, but we're right in the middle of a forward advance of magnitude right at the present instant, and it's not in a moment of advance at St. Hill. It's happening right here in the United States. And you possibly haven't noticed it. We'll take it up at greater length in this Congress, but it is rather fantastic what is occurring. But that I can appear at a Congress at all is pretty good from my point of view. See? That I can last out 6, 12, 18 hours of lecture and so forth, I think that's pretty good. You say, well, of course he would be able to do it, you see. Of course, well, that's easy, you see. There's no glory in it for me, don't you see? I can't say, look how terrific this is, folks, you see. I can't say that. You say, well, that's just what we expect of you, Ron, you see. That's what you're supposed to be able to do, you know. Well, pretty good. But could you do it? And well, you possibly could. And certainly I'm trying to put you in shape so that you definitely could. But I'm not in shape so that I can. And yet I do. That's the ought to be versus the actuality. The only thing that you can really count on me for, absolutely across the boards, and I think you have learned this over the years. One, I know where we're going, I know what we're doing, and I will work very sincerely and put everything else aside to accomplish our definite goals and ends in this particular direction. And I know that you know you can count on that. And beyond that, I'm afraid I can't recommend myself very much. Get cross. Meaner than a cat, man. You ought to see me sometime when a message comes in from Johannesburg that they have just been threatened with liquidation because they forgot to pay the water bill. You know, I see, you know. I'm not trying to keep Johannesburg from liquidating and make sure they pay their water bills, but I have to make sure they do, you see. Boy, it's a good thing I have spoken several languages on the track because I would run out of curse words. It's a terrible state of shock that some staff members sometimes, only new ones, go into. They find me in a hall, you know, and I'm chewing somebody up, my God, you know. And he's trying to tell me desperately that isn't his department, and he's not responsible for it. And I say, well, you know, something very pleasant like, you're trying to tell me you're not responsible, you know, something like this. And they say, gee, he can get mad. Well, that's another ought to be. You see, I'm never supposed to get mad. I'm supposed to withhold it. Well, I'd be withholding more anger in 15 minutes over some things than most people express in their entire lifetime. Frankly, I'm simply libeling myself at the moment because I am a fairly even-tempered character. But don't deny me the right to get mad about something, because I do. And once in a while, I curse and damn some Scientologist who is far away, the story on which I have totally wrong. Very often, this is the case. I just get mad as hops, you know. My God, what the hell? Tell him. Cables fly out and all records. Yankee certificates, nailing to the cross, killing. I get this rather pathetic letter back and say, Ron, that was in Pomona. That was in Pomona that happened, not in Riverside. And the auditor was from Seattle. And I say, prove it. And they do. And I say, I'm sorry. I'm a liability along these lines. But the reason the person took it and will take it and so forth is because they know that I'm totally sincere in trying to keep the show on the road and keep it straight and get the right thing done. So they even forgive that. Well, that's the way it goes. But it's been tough the last 10 or 11 years, let me tell you, particularly the last 10 years, of going along having to do so many other things than my job. Trying to take care of so many other things all the time. Having to hold together administrational activities and so forth, which frankly didn't have too much to do with me. In 1950, I said Scientology, or Dianetics then, would go as far as it worked and not a bit further. And therefore, to expend tremendous quantities of time on administrative procedures and keeping everything straight administratively was a very short-sighted action. One would do the best he possibly could along the administration communication lines of Scientology and Dianetics throughout the world and keep the eye on the main chance, which was to do the best possible technical advance. Concentration on technical. And although we have put together central organizations and so on in the past, it is interestingly significant that now we are going for blood on the administrative front. Because we now know exactly where we are going and exactly what we are doing, and we have made it. And now is the time to make it neat. And I'll appreciate your cooperation in making it neat. Because we've got a mighty fine future, and we've got a tremendous, wide, unimaginably wide area of advance immediately ahead of us. I speak to you from the terrifically confident, complacent standpoint of knowing exactly what you can do. I have for many years spoken to you from the standpoint of knowing what I could do. And hoping what you could do. And I now speak from the viewpoint entirely of knowing exactly what you can do and exactly how far along you can go and exactly how distinctly good your skills can and will be and exactly what you can accomplish. And I speak exactly and totally and exactly from the point of view of knowing what you will become. Now, I don't care whether you fall off the bandwagon and roll off one side of the road and onto the other side of the road and wobble around and so forth. The other end is inevitable. The course of existence is pretty well plotted, because this is one track you can't start going down and then turn back. Because no matter how mad you got, no matter how upset you got, no matter how betrayed you felt, you are still accompanied by this fascinating little point. One little point. It might be true. It just might be true. And that's right. It is true. But I've been trying, and I have been taking your support over 11 years to make a breakthrough which was positively, which included everybody. And that breakthrough has now occurred. And that is news. And I tell you at this Congress that not you too can be clear, but you too can go all the way, no matter how you've been falling on your head. That I can tell you with great certainty. And I can also tell you that you can learn to do it, and you can do it. And these are tremendous certainties, and they exist with me right here at this moment, after a great deal of experience along that line. And I've never been able to speak to you from that level of confidence before. I've spoken to you the confidence, it can be done. I can do it. I hope you can. Here is what I hope you will be able to do. And basically, here is what will cure and clear quite a few people. And you can, I hope, do these techniques. You get this as the viewpoint on which we've been carrying forward, as opposed to this viewpoint. I know exactly what you can do. I know exactly what is going to happen to you, and exactly where you're going, and that is it. I know that I can teach you rather easily to do these exact things. And I know that anybody who then falls in your hands to be cleared or given other boost forward and so forth will receive an exact and finite end, not necessarily in an exact length of time. It'll take some longer than others because that's monitored by the difficultness of the case and the speed and enthusiasm with which you will work. But I can tell you positively that it will occur. And that is news. Applause. Of course, we find the United States at this particular moment in the ho-hum of, well, we've heard about clearing before. Oh, we've heard that before. You know, we've heard about clearing before. Possibly true, possibly not true. He's talking about clearing again. Well, I went down to get cleared one time. I went down to get cleared by an auditor. He was an auditor. He said he was an auditor. And he ran a process on me. It was, look at that light, we ran a long time. I've had other gains. I've had a lot of other gains. I've had a tremendous number of other gains, but I can get clear. Keep talking about these clears, and there aren't very many, and there are really none in the United States or anything like that. I don't know what this is all about. It'd be a pretty dream, though, if it were true. Well, I'm standing here to tell you that I'm not going to clear you, and I'm not going to see you cleared. It's a waste of time. What? What did he say? What did he say, Joe? We could have cleared anybody at St. Hill rather easily, because clearing is a specific activity which is a way stop on the road to other ends. We could take and orient totally what is called now a 3D package and run only one terminal of that package and get a free needle rather easily. And we could show the fellow the free needle and you'd say, look, you're clear, son. He'd feel great, and he would be clear, and everything in book one, everything's fine. He's vaguely aware of the fact that someday something might fall in on him, but that's all right. That's all right. He's clear. There's the free needle. He's, everything is expected, as expected, and so forth. He isn't being troubled by a lot of things being troubled before. Why do it? Just so he'll feel good. I know this is unpopular. This is not commercial. You could go ahead and do this. Be perfectly honest of you. Go ahead and clear the fellow. You get a 3D package and then clear him. Why spend any time clearing him when with the same 3D package you can push him through to OT? Because clearing is not a way stop on the road to OT. It's a by road. That's news, isn't it? It's easier to go the whole road without traveling on any country lanes, even though it's interestingly harder, and even though it's rougher. But after a fellow's going to be clear, he's got to go all over it anyhow. You're going to put him all over the jumps anyway. So why'd you waste any time putting him in this hole when you're trying to go up this road? So we have just bypassed this particular goal, and although this is fine and so forth, he is going to wind up clear, but you'll have to call clear with a capital C or something to differentiate between what we have been making. We have been making keyed out clears. We have keyed people out. And that has been the clear of the past. There's a lot more to this. And yes, oh yes, he felt fine, everything of the sort. Everything was written down and as prescribed and so forth, but it was keyed out clear. And there wasn't any way to go all the way through and make the total breakthrough until just a few months ago. And now there's the way by which you go the whole way and make the total breakthrough, but you have to confront up to God help us. What? That's rough. That's tougher. It's meaner. The somatics are worse. When you get out at the other end, yes, you're clear, but it would probably be the clear which you have envisioned as a relatively absolute, closer to absolute state, with certain powers and abilities to exteriorize and all kinds of odd things that we have also talked to. It'd be closer to an absolute state of clear. Clears we have made have been keyed out clears. The state which we're making is the state which we have called OT. We are making clears. There's no doubt about that. There were on the Congress in South Africa a very short time ago, six clears stood on the stage together. All of them clear the bell. Wonderful shape, marvelous condition. We've done some clearing. Here or there. There's been clearing done in Australia. I'm not trying to downgrade the state these people are in. We're making clears. We have accomplished that particular goal. These clears are relatively stable, but only relatively stable because they are keyed out. Now, I'm not spending much time making clears. I'm pushing it straight on through the whole way and making people that can make people go the whole way. So that is what I mean by a new plateau, and that is what I mean by a brand new upgrade of the whole subject. Because to do this other trick requires auditing skill of a very definite nature They are very definite skills. They are very, very precise. We will take those up in this Congress. And the best news is that you can do them. I have proven that. I have proven that. I have been teaching people to do them, and they've been doing them very successfully and very well. I didn't know that they could, but apparently a Scientologist can do a rather complicated, precise operation if he knows exactly where he's going to the exact end product, without any doubt whatsoever about exactly what you do after you do something. And apparently he can learn this, and he can do this, and he can do this well. And that is very good news, because we're not having any failures along in this line. It's sort of a black and white, yes or no proposition. Today, on these upper echelons, we don't invalidate the old-time auditor. No, no, he had his skills too. We upgrade these skills enormously, put them on a terrifically precise footing, and carry them forward from there, and then this fellow really can work magic. But the techniques which he is using require such enormous precision of use that there are no arguments about it. And after he's trained along the line in this way, he sees clearly that there are no arguments about the precision with which these things have to be used and his understanding of his job. We have walked into a point of complete, tremendous demands on the skill of the auditor. And the news is the auditor has been able to measure up. And we have had no difficulty, even though it took us quite a while to do it, we have been having no difficulty at St. Hill teaching auditors to do these things, and they have come to do them very, very, very well. So much better that if at this moment you were to see or be audited by a St. Hill graduate, you would be very startled. You would know that this was right, and that they were doing exactly right, and it was going off exactly as it was supposed to go off, and there wouldn't be much strain with regard to the thing, but it would be an entirely different auditing experience than you had ever before had. It would be very rapid and very skilled. So don't kid yourself at all about how difficult it is to learn these things or do these things. Look rather at the truth of the matter, which is they can be learned, and these end goals and end products are being duplicated by auditors and people like yourself. They have been able to do these things, and that has not been true of many of the old-time techniques. These fellows can do a tremendous job, and so can you. And these are spreading out across the world now, and I will take this up later in this Congress, exactly what we're doing with this sort of thing. And it's a tremendous new impact that you are looking at. You have a new horizon, a new future. It isn't life in the old horse, it's a brand new horse. And you've had a rough ride up to now, and you'll have a rougher ride in the immediate future, and then it's going to be about the smoothest ride you ever heard of.